I was doing Dick Tracy at this around the same time. I was doing a series of Dick Tracy stories. First one was Halloween night. The Nazis were trying to sabotage the Manhattan Project under Soldier Field. It was Halloween night, 1938. Orson Welles had broadcast War of the Worlds. The Martians had landed. All the Dick Tracy characters had mingled in with them. This sounded like a job for Dick Tracy. So I was working on that, which was kind of a cartoon detective. I was in the middle of, I think I just directed American Hot Wax. I was working on the Mexican Mafia picture, American Me. I was working on Hillside Strangler, which I actually spent a long time on. And I think all these were at Columbia. They were all at Columbia. Not American Me, but Hillside and Fort Fairlane were at Columbia. And on Hollywood Night, just on Hollywood Nights there, and I was doing something else for her called Bank Job. So, kind of entrenched at Columbia. And Dick Tracy had a few different directors. Walter Hill, I know, was at one point. Before Warren got into it. Hatchett was going to do Dick Tracy first with Harrison Ford, but he ended up doing the picture with George. So, I mean, you know, Star Wars. And that was going to do a series of, I was going to do them all with Jimmy. Jimmy and I had just done Freebie and the Bean, and we were, and, you know, Jimmy disappeared for a while. So, and then I was going to, then, well, and it ended up with Warren, but that was 10 years later. No, I was thinking that, I always was thinking they were movies. I had written two or three series at that time, and I was doing the series at Warner's, and they were series that I wrote three or four. They shot the pilot. Well, one didn't air. That's a long story, but it was a really good series. I was doing with Michael Mann. We was doing Miami Vice, and he was going to direct Blood In, Blood Out, which was the sequel to American Me. He was Sean Penn was doing that, and Eddie Olmos was going to do, well, he did do American Me. Ultimately, Blood In, Blood Out had another title, I think, Bound by Honor. Yeah. Taylor Hackford directed it. Well, yeah, tried to. But those were a prequel and a sequel. There's a prequel to Million Dollar Quartet that I'm doing now. Some things do have two parts or one part or more than one part. Dick Tracy definitely had a sequel. Warren did a completely different movie than the script that I wrote. I was the original director. I left it after a couple of years. But there was more than one Dick Tracy adventure, and there was more than one Ford Fairlane adventure. And, there was more than one, Mexican Mafia story. Most of those got made. There was a picture that I made called Common Ground. Well, I didn't make it. It was a script I wrote. A number of studios bought it. I mean, they bought it and it got stopped in another studio. There was an auction on it a few times. John Travolta was going to do it. He was a detective who worked down at LAX. They were kind of a renegade group. I had written that first as a series and then decided 10 years later to do it as a movie. And that character would have had a second life if it had been made. I mean, it was like one of those hot scripts, you know, whatever. Travolta's doing it. This is around the time I get Shorty. Dick Donner's doing it, directing. This is around the time of Lethal Weapon. Everything was, you know, smokestacked, and you know, things get stopped. Somebody wants to fix something in the script, or somebody wants to make a change. Many times when that happens, you take a Go project and turn it into a development deal. I know Sherry Lansing wanted to change something in it. But by the time you make changes, the the actors, you know, moved on to something else, or the directors moved on. So one of the key things is always to do something at the exact time that it's supposed to be done. And that doesn't always happen. In any case, there would have been more than one of those movies. However, there wasn't any of the Common Ground's one of my favorite scripts. I really loved the project. I really liked it a lot. But anyway, next question.
So you have a lot of, I mean, obviously with what you're working on right now, and then a lot of your previous films, you know, American Hot Wax and Hollywood Nights. I mean, that you have such a passion for music, and I would say the
always,
same thing with
always,
Ford Fairlane.
Common Ground was scored by jazz. It was every jazz artist from Miles to Monk to Train. Everybody, it was all, the back score was jazz. It was
wow.
all written into the script, you know. I mean, the title of the song sometimes would go into the motif of the sketch that was became a reality and into like the streets of L.A. It would be you know, they were all living the life. You know, L.A. became an older whore. It started out, you know, when his parents were there and the grandparents came in the 30s and how fabulous it was. And by the time he was working the streets in 2006 or something, you know, it was an old mistress and the streets were dangerous. And anyway, just, yeah, there were a lot of, and the jazz score changed with all of that. I did all, you know, it was always music driven. Let's see, what always means here. The American Pop Anthology is a series of bios about the people that made the music that changed the culture of the country. I think they're on the website, although I haven't looked. The first one is Million Dollar Quartet. The first one was Heartbreak Hotel. But MDQ was a part of that time frame story. And I did that one first. I'm going to do Heartbreak Hotel, probably fifth. It has a great villain, Colonel Parker. You know, a guy who painted chickens yellow and sold them as canaries when he was in the circus. And it's the story of Sam Phillips, the story of discovery of Elvis. It's the story of the man who would be king. And the second story is the story of Florence Greenberg and the Shirelles. We were in New York for 6 months last year. Florence, the woman who played it, was nominated for a Tony. It was, could arguably be said, it had the most passionate, emotionally connected audience of the 2011 season. We were ambushed by the critics. We were the last show to open. We came last. We did not have... we did not mount in any campaign. The Hartman Group, which ran the campaign, missed by a mile. And we opened. There was no advance, no pre-sale. We were just stuck in the middle of a block. We were between Phantom of the Opera and Merchant of Venice and American Idiot and Memphis. We were just stuck in the middle, and we never got open. The only publicity that... it was a very tough season. You could not... We came in very late. I didn't know any of this. You know, Priscilla... I mean, Bette Midler had tremendous publicity on Priscilla. Whoopi Goldberg had tremendous publicity on Sister Act. And there wasn't a breath of ink space anywhere in the paper that Spider-Man didn't get. Every day something happened with Spider-Man. Somebody fell, somebody got caught, somebody drop somebody, you know, it dominated. And we had tremendous publicity a couple of days before we opened, but it wasn't the publicity that we wanted. It was a lawsuit from the Shirelles against Warner Brothers. And it was an extortion attempt by them. And it got a lot of press. So the critics came and reviewed the lawsuit. But it didn't matter to the public. 6 days after, 3 days after reviews, there were 6 people in the audience in standing room only. And it was extremely passionate. Every night, long ovations. Every matinee was sold out. That was in April, but, you know, March, but it would come September. Warner's fired the key executive that was on the show, and they changed the heads of the studio, and they basically shut down the division. And they closed the show. So the show is now going on tour on the 2014 season with a fairly big TV star, a big TV star, Lamb Lawrence, or Kathy Lee Gifford. And it's going to open a new American Pop Theater in Las Vegas next year. So that would be The Fate of Baby It's You, and we will. And then Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, there are a lot of people that want to produce the movie. Lauren Shuler Donner, Dick Donner's wife, or Rita Wilson. And the lead character is a black hipster, hip guy in the 60s. And we're waiting to see if Will Smith is going to play that role. So that will be the movie. The new show is Boy from New York City. I'm in rehearsal now. It's the story of George Goldner, Jewish producer in the 50s and 60s, had a great love affair with a Puerto Rican girlfriend. And it's the story of their romance that went on for 10 years. He was Jewish, she was Catholic, they couldn't get married. They were on a limited time, so they made the most of every minute. They ran with the night. Along the way, hit 20 hits. Number one from Why Do Fools Fall in Love, Tears on My Pillow, The Shangri-Las, The Chantels, you know, the Delphi, just, you know, leader of the pack to, from Frankie Lyman to the last great record label, Libra Stover's Redbird Records. George ran them all. He was the king of New York, and she was the queen. And it's a story of their love affair, all the songs in between. And it's a fabulous story. It's really a great story.
It's my favorite. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, Morris Levy was the gangster who owned Birdland. And Alan Freed was a disc jockey. And it was the story of George, Morris, and Alan. George made the records, Alan sold the records, and Morris owned the records. But the centerpiece is the story of George and Rihanna. And the music is fabulous. You know. And Doc Pomus and George and the songs. And this magic moment. Save the Last Dance for Me. Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Fabulous music, great fucking music, and a great story. Their story is there. They're two hardball flamethrowers, and that's what I'm doing right this second, besides talking to you, and that's it consumes me, and Million Dollar Quartet's out there, printing money, it's sold out in Sacramento last week, so 98% in Houston, 97% in 960 in Buffalo, unbelievable. 850 in Pittsburgh. It's in Las Vegas. It's in Orange County now. I saw 3,000 people there Tuesday night. It just blew the doors off. And I think it's in Phoenix next week. Las Vegas 2 weeks after. It's here in June. It goes to Tokyo and Osaka, and then comes back and it does another, 70 weeks. It's going to be on tour for 5 more years at least.
That's great.
It's 4th year in Chicago and all that. Well, yeah, it's all good. Rock and roll.